Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravind, Bhakti Vidhan, Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. Text number 10, as text number 9 doesn't have a purport. The she-goat went to the residence of a brahmana who was maintainer of another she-goat. And that brahmana angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles. But at the he-goat's request, the brahmana later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. Purport. Here, Shukracharya is figuratively described as the husband of another she-goat. This indicates that the relationship between husband and wife in any society, whether higher or lower than human society, is nothing but the same relationship between he-goat and she-goat. For material relationship between man and woman is one of sex. Yan maithunadi grahamedi sukham hituchham. Sukracharya was an acharya or expert in family affairs which involved the transfer of semen from he-goat to she-goat. The words kaschit aja swami expressly indicate herein that Shukracharya was no better than Yayati, for both of them were interested in family affairs generated by Shukra or semen. Shukracharya first cursed Yayati to become old so that he could no longer indulge in sex. But when Shukracharya saw that Yayati's emasculation would make his own daughter a victim of punishment, he used his mystic power to restore Yayati's masculinity. Because he used his power of mystic yoga for family affairs and not to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this exercise in the magic of yoga was no better than the affairs of the he-goats and the she-goats. Yogic power should properly be used to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord Himself recommends in Bhagavad Gita 6.47. Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Adati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुकं करोति वाचलं पंगुं लंघयति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं परमानन्दमाधवं सर्वशास्त्राब्धिपीयूषः सर्ववैदेहिकसत्फल सर्वसिद्धान्तरत्नाढ्य सर्वलोकैकदृक्पद सर्वभागवत प्राण श्रीमद्भागवत प्रभो कलिध्वान्तोदितादित्य श्रीकृष्ण परिवर्तित परमानंद पाठाय प्रेमवर्षाक्षरायते सर्वदा सर्वसेव्याय श्रीकृष्णाय नमोस्तुते मदेक बंधो मत्संगी मन्गुरो मन्महाधन मदनिस्तारग मदभाग्य मदानंदो नमोस्तुते असाधुता असाधु साधुतादायिन अति निश्चिच्चतारक हानमुंच कदाचिन्मां प्रेम नरित कंठयोस्पुरः Hare Krishna. Taking blessings of all the senior devotees, I would like to speak a few words in the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam and the instance that we are encountering today, that is King Yayati's story as he is frustrated with his life full of sense gratification. He wants to not only express his frustration, take up to self-realization, but also help his wife, Devyani, to realize what folly they have done in life. So he is given a small story of the she-goat and the he-goat, and we are in the very, very difficult verse and a difficult purport. So I would ask for pardon from devotees if I speak beyond my level. It's like a big morsel with a small mouth. Please forgive me if I speak inappropriate words. So, a small synopsis of the two verses. The first verse speaks about how the he-goat is trying to flatter the she-goat, but in spite of his submissive attitude and trying to flatter the she-goat, she is not satisfied. And the second verse talks about how Shukracharya has cursed Yayati, because of which he loses his masculinity. So very interesting that out of anger, Shukracharya, who is considered to be an acharya, becomes prey to such a silly thing, and he attacks Yayati by cursing him that he can lose his masculinity. The power of mystic yoga is such that it can maneuver with the gross body. He did not say that may you lose your power to enjoy. He just removed that organ by which he could enjoy, and the purpose was not to just make him suffer, but suffer in such a way that although he has the desire, but he cannot, you know, entangle himself in doing that. Such is the state of envy that people have in mind, that when anger enters the mind, what you say, what you do is not clear. And then Srila Prabhupada stresses on the main theme of this verse, which is the misuse of the mystic yoga. Shukracharya was expert in mystic yoga. He had powers. He was the acharya for demons. By his dint of power, he had strengthened Bali Maharaj to fight against demigods just by doing his sacrifices. And he has helped so many demons and so many rakshasas to gain power and fight against the demigods. But here we see that how he misuses. Srila Prabhupada says that mystic yoga is not for the purpose of fulfilling the same purpose that the he-goat and she-goat story tells us. It is not for that purpose. It is for self-emancipation. But the power of mystic yoga is such that when you get these eight siddhis, it bewilders one's mind and one is not able to concentrate upon self-realization. But because of the deep-rooted sense gratification which is budding in heart life after life, because of getting those powers, you know, many times as devotees, as practicing bhakti yogas, bhakti yogis, many times we want, you know, when we were during a particular service, when the difficulties come, when the trials come, we want something mystical to happen by which everything can be solved. You know, we want to go for a permission, you know. You want to go there and you want to look at the person and do something by which he can give the permission. Or some difficulty comes in health, you want to do something by which you can cure yourself very easily. So many times in devotional life also we want such mystic siddhis. But we have in Srimad Bhagavatam examples of exalted devotees, although who had mystic siddhis, but they never used it. Never used it for helping themselves. For themselves. We have an example of Rishabh Dev. It is said that Rishabh Dev, incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was having full power to react when he had taken that vow of not reacting to people, Jada Yoga. People were throwing stones at him, were spitting on him, but he did not react. It is said that Rishabh Dev, although he had the power to react and do something mystical, but he stopped himself. Why? Because he said that mind is a very dangerous element. It is mentioned in the verse that he said that the mind is like a hunter. We have to be like a hunter. Just as a hunter is cautious that the animals he has caught, he never has faith on them because any moment they might do a violent act and want to run away. So similarly, a person cannot have faith in his mind that, you know, what can the mind do? And he gives one more example of a husband who does not have faith on his wife who has a paramour. You know, when he knows that his wife is engaging in illicit activities, so anything happens, he blames the wife and he is always cautious that she would do something of that sort. So similarly, Rishabh Dev, although being Supreme Personality of Godhead, he did not want to display the mystic potencies by showing us that mind cannot be trusted. Then we have the example of Ambarish Maharaj, who was already given the power of Sudarshan Chakra by Lord Vishnu, but he did not use it against himself when Durvas Muni attacked him. And also we have the example of Vashishtha Muni. Vashishtha Muni had the designation of Brahma Rishi. With his Brahma Danda, he could do many wonderful things. But as Vishwamitra Muni, when he was a king, when he was trying to snatch away the Kamdhenu Kav Sabala from Vashishtha Muni, at that time he did not react back to Vishwamitra. But Sabala, being very loyal to Vashishtha Muni, she was crying piteously, saying, "Oh Vashishtha Muni, what have I done? What offense have I done that you are not looking at me and saving me?" Vasishtha Muni said, I'm a Brahmana and I don't engage myself in violent activities, although I have the power. But if you want, you can engulf and do whatever you want to save yourself. Then also we have example of Lord Hanuman. Lord Hanuman, there's a verse in the Hanuman Chalisa where he says that he is the not only possessor but the giver of 8 siddhis. Ashta siddhi nava vidike data. He's not only possesses the 8 siddhis which we have seen in the past time when he is flying to Lanka, right? How he becomes smaller, how he becomes bigger than his size. But he did not use that for sense gratification, but for service of Lord Ram. Then also today is Good Friday, where Lord Jesus was crucified. Although in the pastimes that he did on this material world, he showed so many pastimes where he was curing people, he gave vision to the blind, he gave good health to people, he showed food, he distributed food from air. But when he was crucified, because the purpose of his life was to take pain for others, he did not show the mystic powers. He had full mystic powers, but he did not show them. So mystic siddhis are so dangerous that it does not ensure a practitioner proper state of mind, proper consciousness. As Governor Trash Prabhu is giving us a series of lectures on self-discipline, on self-realization. He mentioned a very beautiful point. He said that a person who is in pure consciousness can concentrate nicely and can control his mind. Just as we've seen, devotees who are progressing on the path of devotional service as they pass anartha nivritti and they go towards bhava bhakti. But a devotee is able to control his senses and mind, but a yogi has all the chances to fall. Just like we know of a devotee also who has fallen down, who fell from his position, like Bharat Maharaj. To what to speak of mystic yogis who, it's like a person who is hungry for so many days and he put a chappan bhog thali in front of him, he wants to eat the entire thing. But if he, just like the king who distributed whatever he had, Rantidev, just after fasting, it is not that they sat and started hogging everything, but they were distributing. Such control on senses. But a mystic perfectionist, one who does not look for meditation or supreme personality of Godhead, as mentioned in the verse, Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmanah shaddavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamomatah. So what happens? That mystic yogi, when he gets those mystic powers and he doesn't have a composure, he loses his mind and uses all his potencies for all the wrong things. We've often heard a story of a mystic yogi. Prabhupada many times told a story that he got mystic power to change form. And he used that form to turn into a monkey and go on the riverside and watch women bathing. But as he had turned into monkey, he forgot to change back to form. So what is the use of this mystic? It's like a blockage on the path of self-realization. That's why if we see the prayers of the devotees, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as they come in front of the Lord, they pray that, oh Lord, don't give me mystic siddhi, but just eternal service at a lotus feet and remembrance of your qualities, form and pastimes. In the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvas Muni, a very indicative pastime where, although Durvas Muni, who was best of yogis, who had power to travel anywhere and everywhere in the universe, as we'll see in the pastime, that he goes even to the Vaikuntha Loka, but he has to come back because he had envy. Although he had controlled the elements and he could maneuver the elements, but he could not maneuver his own body and his own mind. In the pastime, the Srimad Bhagavatam speaks that King Nabhaga, he gives birth to Ambarish Maharaj. And Srimad Bhagavatam praises the qualities of Ambarish Maharaj. That Ambarish Maharaj was not only an exalted devotee, but he was detached. Although he was the emperor of the entire world, but he never cared for that position. Not only that, his divine vision, his vision was so clear that anything, everything in this universe, he used to consider no better than a speck of grain. And he was so steeped in following the limbs of devotional service that 24 hours he engaged. Not that he neglected the duties of a king, but he performed the proper duties. At the same time, he engaged in devotional service 24 hours. We know how he did that. His mind engaged in the beautiful, meditating on the beautiful lotus feet of the Lord, his words in glorifying the Lord, his hands in cleaning the temple, his ears in remembering, in listening to the glories of the Lord, his eyes looking at the beautiful form of the Lord, his sense of touch in touching, embracing devotees, his nose in smelling the tulsi buds, his legs in walking to the temple, his head in bowing down, and all desires for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he shows how each and every aspect of his life, this is the perfect yogi. Srila Prabhupada mentions in his book, Topmost Yoga System, that a perfect yogi is one who performs transcendental service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The path of yoga, starting from Karma Yoga, then Dhyana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga, everything is only for culmination to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perform active service to Him. He was very dutiful, Ambarish Maharaj, and submissive. He was submissive to his spiritual masters, Vasishtha, Asita, and Gautama. He performed so many sacrifices for the welfare of general public. He used to call so many Brahmanas for giving donations. He donated something like 1 crore cows, you know, I forget the number, 1 crore cows to the Brahmanas, each of one having golden horns and a silver hoof, silver plated hoofs. But it is at an opportune time, Durvas Muni comes there. Durvas Muni, being the best of the Munis, steeped in mystic yoga, Ambarish Maharaj welcomes him, gives him a seat, offers him proper welcome, washes his feet, and invites him for prasad. Ambarish Maharaj has been following the vrat of Ekadashi and Dwadashi for a year. At the end, he has performed 3 days complete fasting, and after taking bath in Yamuna, worshipping the deities, dressing them nicely, bathing them nicely, he is about to break his fast. At that time, Durvas Muni enters, and Durvas Muni, you know, although being an uninvited guest, he expects that Ambarish Maharaj caters to him, and he does, as a gentleman. And Durvas Muni, before starting to honor the prasad, he wants to take a bath. And Durvas Muni leaves for Yamuna, takes a bath in Yamuna, and over there, as he starts meditating on the impersonal Brahman, he goes into Samadhi. Here, Ambarish Maharaj has to break the fast, because if he doesn't break the fast, his vow will be broken. So then he consults the Brahmanas there, whether what should I do? Should I break the fast or not break the fast? Then the Brahmana suggests him to accept water, which can be considered as breaking the fast and simultaneously not breaking the fast. So he, with the permission of Brahmanas, he sips some water. Durvas Muni, as he returns, because of his mystic power, he comes to know that Amrish Maharaj has broken the vow. Immediately, because feeling disrespected, he instantly becomes angry. He breaks a bunch of hair from his head and creates a fiery demon who is traversing the entire world with his every step, and he's coming towards Amrish Maharaj. Now, normally when a danger comes, we tend to go back at least a step, showing some change in the attitude. But here Amrish Maharaj, being fully absorbed in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, he didn't budge an inch. The Bhagavatam says he did not take a pace behind. He was fully fearless. At that time, Durvas, that fiery demon, as he was charging against Amrish Maharaj, suddenly the fully effulgent Sudarshan Chakra, he appears to save Amrish Maharaj and burns the fiery demon to ashes. And after burning, not looking here and there, he straightaway charges towards Durvas Muni. And Durvas Muni, being frightened, understanding that I don't have power much more than a Sudarshan disc, he runs helter-skelter. He's running in the entire universe that who can help him. And what happens? Sudarshan disc, he's coming behind Amrish Durvas Muni and touching him a little bit, which is creating him more terror. And he's running, the beautiful picture in Bhagavatam is a beautiful picture where Durvas Muni is running with fully fearful, and behind the Sudarshan Chakra with his spokes shining like the sun is charging towards him. Then he goes to Brahmadev, and Brahmadev says, the Supreme Lord is the controller of everything and I cannot counteract his power. I can't help you. Although he says that Lord Shiva cannot help you, but Durvas Muni does not have faith on the words of Brahma, and he still goes to Shivaloka, and there he appeases to Shiva, Lord Shiva, that please save me. Lord Shiva says the same thing. Myself and Lord Brahma, we are all subservient to Lord Vishnu's power and we cannot counteract it. So I can't help you, O son. He's a son of Lord Shiva. So Durvas Muni, such is the power of Durvas Muni that at that time he goes to Vaikuntha. He has the power to go beyond. It takes a lot of purity to rupture this material world and go towards Vaikuntha. And Durvas Muni does that. He gets entrance in Vaikuntha, which is not to anybody so easily. And there he prays to Lord Vishnu that, I have offended your devotee. I have attacked him and now your Sudarshan disc is behind me. Please save me. But at that time, Lord Vishnu says, I am subservient to my servants and I have no power to take back the Sudarshan disc because he is on a mission to save my devotees. And as you have offended my devotees, I can't do anything. The only thing that you can do is beg forgiveness from Amrish Maharaj, who will save you of this offense. And as Durvas Muni returns, he sees that Amrish Maharaj has not budged an inch. He is standing in the same pose, wondering and worrying about Durvas Muni, where he has gone, what has happened. And as Durvas Muni comes, he clasps the lotus feet of Amrish Maharaj and begs for forgiveness. Amrish Maharaj, he says, looking at the pitiful condition of Durvas Muni, he prays to Sudarshan Disc and says that he's a poor Brahmana. Please forgive him, for he has not done any offense to me. At that time, Sudarshan Disc retracts. And Durvas Muni, being very happy for the beautiful exemplary behavior shown by Amrish Maharaj, here we can see that although Amrish Maharaj was generally considered to be a householder and considered to be attached, And Durvas Muni, who is a renunciant and considered to be detached. But because of the Sudarshan disc, it enlightened and showed us who is actually detached and who is actually attached. So Durvas Muni glorifies Ambarish Maharaj and thanks him for the wonderful prayer to Sudarshan disc. And then after Ambarish Maharaj, because he knows that he has been moving all around, he must be hungry, he makes Durvas Muni sit, feeds him, and after that Durvas Muni returns to Brahmaloka, and on the way he is glorifying the qualities of Ambarish Maharaj. So here is a beautiful story where a mystic yogi is teaching us a lesson that although mystic yoga might give you different perfections, but the best perfection is to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perform the limbs of devotional service. In the contemporary world, also we have an example of a perfect bhakti yogi who showed his power and his determination and total faith on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have Sri Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who showed how he was fully meditating always on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As we know that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate in the British rule, the British regiment, they wanted to have proper harmony in the state of Puri. And there he was posted. And just as all of the entire family, they shifted to Jagannath temple, and every day they went for darshan of Sri Jagannath, Baldev and Subhadra Maiya. And very soon, because of the presence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kedarnath, at that time there were some practices, some illicit practices going on in the temple Puri, in the Puri temple. They all stopped, and he made sure that the punctuality in deity worship is maintained. He saw that all the offerings are made on time, and there was proper peace and harmony. But at that time, in the jungles of Sharadaipur, this mystic yogi is called Bisaksen. He started a different mission. Bisaksen was a member of a Atibari group. Atibari group was started by a devotee of Lord Chaitanya called as Jagannath Das. But this Jagannath Das was told by Lord Mahaprabhu to go and take shelter of Srila Haridas Thakur. But he deviated from the principles of pure devotional service and started following the doctrine of Mayavad, which preaches that one can become God. So then they started their own group, their own Shastra, and also they started giving this the mission of their movement to help the country, you know, to attract the, because that time many wanted the freedom from European Raj. So they made their motto to free themselves from the European Raj. And you know, their political agenda was mixed. So here we have Bisaksen, who was started staying in the jungles of Sharadipur, and such he started claiming himself to be an avatar of Mahavishnu, and said that very soon he has descended to kill the European rulers and give freedom to the citizens of India, to establish the kingdom where the Hindus will be prominent. You know, the scriptures of Atibaris, it also predicted that in the 14th day of Chaitra, there will be a war, and the Mahavishnu, because, you know, these mystic sadhus, they had some mystic power. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in his autobiography that there was a little mystic yogi. He mentions that he had little power. His power was not that great. He's saying that these people, you know, at the end of the entire pastime, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an entire synopsis of who these Atibaris are, what they did, you know, so that in future people can understand what this cult is and how dangerous it is. And there he mentions that these people, they created their own scripture where they would predict that a Mahavishnu's incarnation will come, a Balaram's incarnation will come, a Krishna's incarnation will come. So here, Bhishikshen, he proclaimed, and for that proclamation, he had to distribute different pamphlets. And he said that, I am Bhagwan, and I have come to free you from the European Raj. He used to do a lot of miracles. A mystique yogi, he used to sit erect and have a fire sacrifice in front of him, and he used to bend fully in the fire and come back, and nothing used to happen to him. You know, people, when they see such miracles, you know, people of less faith, they suddenly get attracted because they want some relief from their adhyatmik, adhibhautik and adhidevik miseries. So whenever they see such things, it's very easy to bewilder such people. Then he also knew how to read people's mind. He used to cure diseases, you know, moving his hand on people's body. He used to cure diseases. And he used to manifest fire from his head. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in his biography that it is not because of austerity. It is because of his austerity and not because of his spirituality. And then with Mahavishnu, he had his two followers and he started proclaiming that one of them is Brahma and one of them is Shiva. But the root mentality of these people came out when they started spoiling the chastity of the women around. People used to started offer them women for enjoyment. And everything was going, you know, their preaching was going nicely. But an outcry happened when some people from the government and the high class of society, their women, when these women were polluted by Bhishikshen, then a complaint went to the British government that somebody is trying to do like this and his main propaganda is to kill you. So the British government was alarmed and they could see nobody but Bhaktivinoda Thakur for help, because they knew that he has, you know, clear discrimination and he can definitely handle this case properly. So as Bhaktivinoda Thakur was given this case, Bhaktivinoda Thakur set out with a district superintendent, a police chief and few constables. His first visit. During sunset, they entered the camp of Bhishikshen. And they saw many sick people who were surrounding him. And he was sitting on a throne. And just as he entered, Bhishikshen rose from his throne. Looking gravely at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, "Oh Babu, why have you come here? I know you are a Bengali and a magistrate. What is your purpose of coming here?" Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, "I have come to see you." "Okay, you've come to see me? Sit down and hear my teachings. I am Mahavishnu. I have arisen from the ocean of milk and I have come here to destroy all the Europeans." And then Bhishikshen gave him a palm leaf. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave him a palm leaf where whatever he had said now was written on a beautiful poem. No, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not impressed to least. Then he described to Bhaktivinoda Thakur what his name is, what his background was, what his past is, and whatever about his family and present. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not get disturbed. He knew what is the intention of this yogi. Bhishikshen also said that, "Please do not interfere me, because I know what your intentions are. Your men are standing outside in the trees waiting to catch me. You can never catch me." Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not impressed again. He said, "If you are Mahavishnu, then why are you staying in jungle? Why not stay in Jagannath Puri, where Lord Jagannath Dev resides?" And here, you know, it's difficult to mention the offensive words that Bhishikshen says. He says, "I am the Supreme Lord. There is no God in Puri. He's just a slab of wood. I will make India my kingdom." Very soon, I shall establish the Hindu Rajya. And because of that, I'm staying in jungle to propagate it nicely. And I know that you are an excellent court judge and a beautiful devotee. Chaitanya Dev was my good devotee and you are his devotee. So when I take up the Rajya government, I'll make you the governor. So you work with me. He was trying to give a rishwat to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that, you know, you come in my part. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, he could not tolerate this Mayavadi talk. He said, a living entity cannot become God. He is not God and he'll never become God. Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal and Dantavakra, they all had the same mentality and they perished. So shall you. The yogi again tried to impress Thakur by calling, you know, the diseased people and healing them in front of him. There was a person who had a spear in his hand and there was a big depression in his leg. He nicely moved his hand and the entire wound was healed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because if he had clear vision, he said, you are an offender of Lord and using your mystic power for self-aggrandizement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur left. You know, he did not speak much because, you know, although he saw that he is speaking Mayavad philosophy and he is doing wrong things, he wanted to investigate. So he stayed in a tent in Sharadpur and there he sent people for investigation where he found out that many of the followers in the village were glorifying him. At the same time, some were distressed because the women in the village were polluted by him. And because of that rage, they thought that more women will voluntarily go to him and there will be more pollution. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was convinced that this man has to be punished. So next day, looking at the power of Bhishakshen, he did not go alone. He took a police inspector, two chiefs and 100 armed policemen. And this was early morning. And as they entered, the people, when they saw red turbaned policemen with rifles in hand, suddenly everybody was scared and they fled. And as everything was happening, Bhishakshen was calmly sitting on his chair and looking at Bhaktivinoda Thakur and said, what is going on, Babu? What are you doing? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, I have come to arrest you. But he said, you know, after that, all his composure was lost. He suddenly started shouting at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you don't have any power to catch me. That I have come to take you to Puri because we have to judge you for all your wrongdoings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not angry. He was kind on Bhishakshen. He said, I am a supreme personality of Godhead. Who is this governor to call me to Puri? I am no one. I bow down to no one. So please, you cannot catch me. Try if you can. If not peacefully, I shall forcefully catch you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. Leave now or you shall see my power. And he stood up and violently shaked his hair and all his matted locks, and flames started coming out of his locks. He started staring at Bhaktivinoda Thakur with angry eyes and his eyes turned red and there were sparks coming out of his eyes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur very coolly said, that's nice magic and I'm definitely impressed and I'll not forget your magic, but you'll have to come with us. And there was a bullock cart that was called for, and looking at nothing is, you know, nobody is listening to me, Bhishakshen said, you are a devotee of mine and I have to keep the words of devotee. That a devotee, you have told that you will take me to Puri, so I shall accompany you. And sitting in the bullock cart, he started moving towards Puri. And in Puri, you know, in the bullock cart itself, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sat in that bullock cart in front and he was behind. And in the bullock cart, he started showing all mystical powers and a lot of noise and a lot of energy coming out. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was coolly writing the judgment and the report. And just as they entered Puri, he was kept in confinement. And there were many, you know, 3 dozens of Muslim constables and 72 Cuttack policemen who were guarding the confinement. Bhaktivinoda Thakur then arranged for the false Brahma and Shiva to be arrested. And Mr. Taylor, who is one of the superintendents, he did the decision for them. And just as they were caught, they said, you know, we were told by Bhishek Shain to act like this. We are not Brahma, neither we are Shiva. But they were punished. But now was the time of trial for Bhishek Shain. And it went on like the 18 days of Mahabharata, the 18 days trial of Bhishek Shain. Bhishek Shain fasted. He did not sleep. Everybody was wondering what power he had that he did not fast, did not sleep, but not a small grain of tiring. You know, he was fully energetic. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was still nice. He went to him, please eat. And he gave many spiritual instructions, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not ready to listen to him. The public was so much favorable towards Bhishek Shain that they arranged for a defense lawyer. In the 18-day trial in Puri, on the 6th day, Bhishek Shain finally cried out and said, stop this prosecution, Kedarnath, otherwise you'll see what I'll do to your family. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not budge an inch, but when he went home, he saw that his third daughter, Kadambini, was sick with a deadly disease, fever, and she was falling unconscious. Every moment she was falling unconscious. Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew that this is the power of Bhishek Shain. Bhagwati Devi, his wife and mother of Kadambini, she said, why don't you release Bhishek Shain? Otherwise he'll kill the entire family. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, let us die, but this rascal has to be punished. Next day morning, Kadambini was well again. Then the trial went on. Then very soon, there was a fire in the school in Puri. For 21 days, as the trial was going on, when they caught him till the trial, 21 days, as he was in prison, he did not eat, he did not sleep. But there was no weakness. And he was also performing cure from the prison for people. On the 17th day, Bhishek Shain cried out loud. He said, why don't you accept me as Supreme Lord? If you don't accept me, Supreme Lord, I shall offer you death. The death will sit on the seat of judge, and he will judge you and award you punishment very severely. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not pay any heed. Finally, the judgment was passed. Before that day, the 17th day, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur reached his house and he was removing his coat, there was an intense pain on the right side of his chest. And as the night increased, the pain increased. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not get disturbed and was taking intense shelter of the holy names of the Lord. But morning, as 10 a.m., as the pain subsided down, Bhaktivinoda Thakur set out for the court. He took a palanquin to go to the court, and in the court, he gave the judgment. He said that as he was against the national British Indian rule, Britain government, and the state government of Orissa, he shall be sentenced to a rigorous imprisonment of 18 months and hard labor. After that, just as we see, everybody who was gathered outside, they were crying, injustice, injustice. And Bhishek Shain, who could not believe his ears when the punishment was passed, when he got down, there was a medical officer of that time, Dr. Watson. He went, and because he had heard that the power of the yogi is in his hairs, he went and cut off the hair locks of Bhishek Shain with big scissors. As the hair locks fell down on the earth, Bhishek Shain fell down, powerless and weak, unable to even walk. There was a stretcher got where he was put and he was carried for imprisonment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in the autobiography that just as the power of Bhishek Shain was gone, all his people, they cried, cheater, cheater, and they left him. Bhishek Shain, in the prison, he was there for 3 months, and after that, he ate poison and committed suicide. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur he firmly established what is the principle of devotional service and how powerful a bhakti yogi is than the mystic yogi. So, just concluding, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmanah shaddavan bhajate yomam, as Bhagavad Gita mentions, bhaja means not worship, but loving service with love and faith. Similarly, we can pray at the lotus feet of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They can grant us the power and the patience and perseverance to follow the limbs of bhakti, of devotional service faithfully and lovingly. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaura Premanande.